And again, Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. It's a little bit warmer than yesterday, but it's nice out. I kind of like the flurries. I miss it. I walked out yesterday after the show, and the little flurries going on.
I thought you liked Frosties more.
I do. I do like Frosties more, but I do. Blizzards. I don't mind flurries.
What about blizzards? Turn it upside down.
Blizzards are fine.
Plastic spoon.
Which
in
blizzard
there?
Are you talking about? If you're talking about DQ blizzard, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
But like blizzards? No.
Like an actual blizzard.
Yeah, I'm not.
No.
I'm not interested in that.
No. I'm okay with no blizzard.
Flurries, good, always.
But you know what we
Frosties,
do need?
Frosties, good, always.
I wouldn't mind one good snow to where we could
either.
Do a little sled ride.
I'm with you.
My son and I were just talking yesterday. Like, it's been years since we've had a good one where you can get out on the golf. Like, we have the Shelby Golf Course, which is very hilly on the east side. It is the perfect sled riding atmosphere. Everybody goes over there, and we have a ball. But it's been years since we had enough snow to really do it right.
I had this conversation yesterday with a buddy of mine, and he's like, man, if I could just pick up the family right now and we could just move to Florida, I'd do it. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, why? I go, don't you want seasons? He's like, nah. I want seasons. Me personally, I want seasons. I like spring and fall.
I'm the same way.
Like summer, winter, spring and fall. I like the seasons. I do. Now, I don't want long winters. That's what drives me crazy about the north or northeast. Like, it's too long.
Yeah,
like
when you go to Chicago in April and
it's
snowing,
still,
that's
right,
not,
it snows. Right, it snows. I went to an Indians game in April. I've gone to them in May and it's still snowing or really, really cold. Like that's
not fun.
That's absurd. Like, I am so out on that. But you know what? A little small window of winter, you know, 6-8 weeks.
Right.
Is that a horrible thing? I don't think so. I don't mind it. I don't want it to snow every day for 6 to 8 weeks, but cold weather, a little change, a little flurries, maybe even a little good little snow, 3-4 inches. I'm okay with that.
The problem, though, is in this town, people don't know how to navigate it, and the town literally shuts down.
It's a mess. I know.
And it makes it so difficult to get anywhere.
It's true.
I don't have a great car for navigating in it, and I don't like driving in it, but I do it. So. But I'm with you. I mean, it'd be cool to have one. Just keep the roads clear.
Well, we know that's probably not going to happen.
Issues there.
You know it's going to create a mess. But still, is it a horrible thing? Like, do you want it sunny and 8? Like, D-Mace, like, he absolutely would want it tropical every day. Like, wouldn't that get old after a while? Like, it's fun when you go on vacation. That's what you want. But, like, 365? Out of the year? I mean, is that what you really want?
I don't know.
I want different days.
I have a little bit of PTSD right now considering, you know, what Friday was like, trying to fly into Kansas City and then having to drive from St. Louis to Kansas City while it's, you know, icing. So I'm not really in the mood to do that, you know, to navigate those waters.
Yeah, right, but we don't get KC weather.
No, but we get ice.
Yeah, ice is no good.
I mean,
ice
that's
is
what
no
I
good
was.
Anywhere. I'm saying
that's what I was driving.
Like, Casey's winters are way worse than ours.
Yeah, but
way
I could handle. I'd be if it was just straight snow. Okay, I can deal with that.
It's the ice.
But what we were driving, we leave St. Louis and it's freezing rain and sleet, and there wasn't any snow. It was just the ice. So that was you know, I was white knuckling it the whole way. It was not fun.
Because the driver.
Oh, yeah, you think Stillman's going to drive? No, he's just going to sit and talk in the back seat. Or the front seat. That's what he's going to do. He didn't drive.
He was talking while you were driving?
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Golly, that's weird. I would have figured he'd
have
his
Floyd was
on.
At least,
quiet.
Like, checking on me, making sure I'm all right. Like, you good? You feel? Because I'm exhausted at this point. I mean, Floyd's got my back.
Jared, you just heard the preview of his show.
Basically. Love you, Jared.
Segment 4. And we're back.
Yeah, it was that. I don't know what the Titans are going to do. I think they're going to come in here and Kansas City's just the better team. That's basically what I heard.
Did he give you commercial breaks at least?
No commercials.
Commercial free?
No commercials.
Oh, wow. That's...
He just didn't stop.
Did you have any musical interludes?
A little bit. He turned on some Jethro Tull for Floyd, so that was cool.
Jethro Tull? Okay.
Though the line was great. He goes, I don't really know this song, but I figured Floyd would like it, so I'll turn it on.
I was going to say, if he knows Jethro Tull, that's an upset.
Yeah. It was good. We made the most out of it, considering, you know, we did a tour of the Atlanta airport, so we saw that for a few hours, and then St. Louis, and then KMOX was nice enough to house us for a few hours so they could do their show. And
nice studios there.
Oh, really very nice.
Good location.
We were probably in one of the same studios you guys were a few years ago, but very cool, and then finally made it to Kansas City around midnight.
I'm going to say this again, and I don't want this to come off, because I at some point we're going to talk about it. I know. But like last night, you're right, we're in kind of the, well, if you're going to watch sports, you're pretty limited. Gosh, the college basketball scene is just...
I'm glad you brought that up.
It's just not appealing. I'm sorry. I love college basketball. But this year, it is... It's like stick bamboo sticks under my fingernails, man. It is brutal. It's brutal.
Well,
it's a tough watch.
I'm guessing you watched the Virginia game.
It's a tough watch.
Well, Virginia is the defending national
and
champion.
They're not very good.
They've won a lot of games playing the way they do, but it's not the most exciting.
Well, no.
Now they can't score.
Well, no, they've always had that problem.
Well, but
they can win 43-40.
Yeah, but they had... Like, in that type of game, the guys who could make some big shots, and now they don't have those guys. So they are really, really not fun to watch.
It's just not an appealing
product. That was an ugly
product.
Game.
It really isn't.
I was talking to my friend that he has family over in North Carolina. So last week he went to both a UNC game and a Duke game. And obviously two different programs right now. And we were talking about college basketball, and he was like, so what do you think, you know, who do you think, what team do you think is going to win it? And I'm like, I can't give you an answer right now.
Get out of dartboard.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all over the place. And honestly, I'm not into that. Like, I think tournament time, that's fun. But right now, you know, in January when the NFL season's winding down and you have hockey that's, you know, the Preds are on a break and – I'm not really much of an NBA guy, so it's just not entertaining that there's not one team that's really standing out to me. You know, we watched some of Louisville the other night, and that was, you know, an entertaining game, but it's just, you know, they win one, and then they might lose the next week to this other team, and it's just all jumbled. And, you know, he brought up just how bad Carolina is right now, and that Duke is good, but they're not the Duke teams that they've been in the past. And so it's just a weird state, especially coming off last year, which I felt like college basketball last year was back. That was a really good season.
Last year was fantastic.
This is just a letdown.
It's just not, it's not a good product this year.
And then there's, did you guys talk about Vanderbilt at all yesterday and the streak coming to an end?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tough luck, man.
What are they, 0-24 in the conference? Is that right?
They got no. They with Neesmith, I was really encouraged. You know, they played the opening game at Auburn and worked their way back to tie the game and had the ball down 2 with 28 seconds to go, a chance to tie or take the lead on the last possession of regulation.
But as we've seen, Auburn's not even that good. I mean, Alabama house.
Yeah, but
them.
No, I'm talking about simply trying to win some league games.
Yeah.
I came out of that game saying they're going to win some league games. He's done a good job with these guys. And then the next day they announced that Neesmith is out for the season. And that's it. I mean,
what team's going to win the SEC?
Well, probably Auburn by default. But it's pathetic.
Yeah, because Kentucky, I watched some of Kentucky, like, Arkansas.
Kentucky, you watch, though. Kentucky by the end of the
year. They do. They get better.
They'll get better.
They get better every month.
They had a good win. At Arkansas, I watched that game. Calipari got thrown out of the game.
Tossed out about, what, 8
Which
and a
I think
to go.
Was intentional. Kind of just saying,
no
hey,
doubt.
You know what?
No
I,
doubt.
I need to get a jar out of my team.
It was like in the movie Major League.
And it worked.
Or no, Hoosiers.
Hoosiers, yeah.
Right? Yeah. toss me out of the game.
Yeah.
What? Just kick me out of the game.
They have some players.
You're out of here.
They have some guys who, if the light goes on and they get it, they'll have a chance. In this field,
it's wide open this year.
It is wide open. I haven't seen enough of Duke, or when I have seen them, they're not nearly as good. I don't see the guy.
I don't trust them
among their top recruits that is going to turn into.
Is Baylor really
a guy
that good?
Can,
I don't know.
I watched them last night.
Louisville looks pretty legit.
Baylor to me looks like the Baylor teams that have been rolled out there by Scott Drew for years. They're all good. I just don't know if this one is really that much better, like a number one national title. But give them credit, they've not lost in that league yet. They barely escaped last night. Oklahoma almost came back and stole it. But it's going to be a fun tournament. In that you're not going to have these juggernauts. I mean, your brackets, good luck with that.
Yep.
It could be the Zags year after all these years. They might be the best team in college basketball, but no one watches them because they play in the WCC and all their games are at 10 o'clock our time.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've got just as good of a shot as anybody else.
And that seems like a perennial thing with mm-hmm. Gonzaga that, you know, they're always there. And then you wonder, is this the year? Is this team that much better? I haven't really watched this version of Gonzaga. But we were just talking yesterday about the fact that you start naming who are the star players in college basketball.
It's thin.
Unless you really are into college basketball, you probably couldn't name any. Whereas, you know, if you were the most casual sports fan last year, you knew who Zion Williamson was.
Who's the worst team in the NBA?
The Warriors. Easily.
Warriors, yeah.
They're pretty bad.
So this is like, you know, they're going to get everybody back next year. They may have the number one pick, and it's not a great year for the number one pick.
The worst year to tank. This is probably the worst year to tank in the NBA in a long time.
Mm. Well, yeah, who is going to, I mean, is it Wiseman?
LaMelo Ball, maybe?
Oh boy, you really want that?
I'd probably go Wiseman over.
Well, Wiseman could be special. Like, we won't get to watch him.
Right.
But he's pretty special. Now, that guy, I put him on the Warriors? And you get those guys back? Oof. Okay. All right.
It's not fair.
We'll come back. Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com. They wrapped up everything yesterday. Clean out the locker, and some news came out yesterday that we want to talk with Jim. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Clean out your locker day. That happened yesterday for the Titans. We were kind of hoping we could keep talking about this for the next 2 weeks. Unfortunately, it came to an end in Kansas City. Jim Wyatt is on the line with us, TitansOnline.com. I'd rather not start on a somber note, so I'll kind of wait for a little bit later, Jim, to do that, just because I know how important he was to you and to us. But what did you make of yesterday? I want to start with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill not speaking to the media. Did that surprise you? It surprised me.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Sunday after the game, both of the guys talked and kind of, I think, said what they felt like needed to be said after the season. And, you know, I think now, obviously, when the season ends, the questions turn into questions about contracts and a lot of stuff that they're probably just not prepared to talk about coming out of an emotional meeting when guys are kind of saying goodbye for the last time. So everybody handles it differently. I mean, Ryan Tannehill was great all season, you know, during his media availability. You know, Derek, was very emotional after the game on Sunday. And I think the last question was about his contract, and you can kind of tell it rubbed him the wrong way. So I just don't think you want to go down that road again.
Is Derrick Henry kind of turned into the Joe Flacco moment in Baltimore? Yes, the Titans didn't win the Super Bowl, but hasn't Derrick Henry kind of forced their hand? I mean, John Robinson has no choice. I mean, he does have a choice, but he really doesn't have a choice, right?
Well, he has a choice. I mean, the choice is whether or not you try to sign him to a long-term deal or whether you try to put the franchise tag on him. I think that's the choice. I mean, as far as letting him walk, I mean, I think that would be tough to do at this point. But, you know, when you got the best running back in the NFL, I don't know that you just let him walk out the door. So I think that the choice is just how you go about doing it.
Were you surprised by the news Dean Pease delivered yesterday?
I was not, you know, certainly still a lot of other people were. Dean did such a great job and meant so much to so many guys, you know, on that team and on that staff. I think he had let people know, you know, before really this playoff run started that this was going to be it for him, and managed to kind of keep that quiet until he walked into the room yesterday. So, he had such a great career. I have a lot of respect for him, just the way he kind of treats his players and the rest of the guys on that staff. And he had a chance to become the third, just the first person to take, first defensive coordinator to take three different teams to the Super Bowl. He had done it with the Patriots and done it with the Ravens. It would have been a remarkable feat. It just came up a yard short. Came up a game short.
You know, the last two defensive coordinators here have been up there in age, and age has not even been in question once you see their work and how much they've done in the NFL. It has worked big time with LeBeau and Pease. I mean, those two have been fantastic in this market on the defensive side of the ball. So do you think they kind of keep with that theme that's been working? I mean, there are two obvious guys out there, one being Wade Phillips, and probably the most obvious is Romeo Crennel getting shown the door yesterday in Houston, considering that Mike Vrabel worked with Romeo Crennel. How do you think they go about trying to fill that spot?
Yeah, I don't exactly know. I mean, I've already heard some early speculation about possibilities that I probably don't need to be speaking of yet until it comes out of the head coach's mouth, but I'll be curious to see the way it ends up. I mean, I think he certainly has, you know, again, he didn't find out that Dean Pease was retiring yesterday when everybody else in that room did. He knew, and I think he probably, you know, already had a list or a plan maybe in place about which direction he wanted to go. But I myself, you know, just be curious to see how it plays out.
What about they also lose their defensive backs coach, who's now on his way to Ohio State to be the new defensive coordinator? How do you go about filling that? And was that a surprise?
It was not. I think that had been probably discussed and something that he knew of several weeks back as well. I mean, obviously, Keir Combs is going to finish the job here with this team, but reports out of even Ohio had him pegged as being the guy that they were targeting. So I think, again, that was one that they knew was coming. When you're a head coach, you know, you've got to have list in place that if this guy leaves or if I've got an opening at this spot, then these are the people I'm going to consider. And I think with Mike Vrabel, I think he, you know, has a plan maybe in place there about the way he wants to attack it. He'll carry you, will be missed. I mean, he's a high energy guy, a guy who came into the NFL with a different style than a lot of these guys are used to, but they, you know, embraced his approach and got better with him. So it's those are two big losses on the defensive side of football.
Jim Wyatt is with us, TitansOnline.com. Jim, you referenced the franchise tag for Derrick Henry. Do you believe they would use that tag on anybody else but him? Because they've got obviously a lot of free agents coming, and you would think that they're going to use it for somebody. But do you think it's way more likely that it's Henry than anybody else?
Well, I mean, I think Henry and Tannehill both are the two that the biggest two out there, so I think those are the two you would consider using it on, unless you can get long-term deals with those guys that you're happy with. you know, I don't know that, you know, I look at other, there's a whole bunch of unrestricted free agents, a whole bunch of guys that are up. And so they've got options on a lot of guys, but I would think it's either quarterback or the running back.
Well, that being said, you know how sports talk shows work. I'll just put it to you this way to start. What is the percentage chance in your mind that Tannehill is the guy next year? Or do you feel like they are fully committed to wanting to sign him, or are they going to have to weigh their options here?
Well, I mean, I'm going to defer to the GM and the head coach on this one. Obviously, when one season ends and another one starts, which is essentially what happens when you lose your last game, then you have to start considering all options that are out there. And so who knows what some of those options might be. I think Ryan Tannehill, obviously, what he did this season proved that he is a guy you can build a team around. And I wouldn't have no hesitation at all in having him be your starting quarterback moving forward. And you don't have to worry about drafting one and getting somebody trying to get somebody up to speed. I mean, you got a guy who's proven he can do it. But I also know that the way the GM thinks and the way the head coach thinks, and that's, you know, we can explore all of our options and just see what what is available and what the contract, what negotiations might look like. I mean, just a whole bunch of stuff to consider.
No question about it. And with that in mind, on Sports Talk Radio, we have the ability to explore all options. So, as you might imagine, the Tom Brady thing came up, the connection with Mike Vrabel. Completely far-fetched, or is there some practicality to that in your mind?
So we'll see. I mean, I don't want to speak out of school here. I'm sure they'll already begin having conversations about what could happen. I'm not going to add to speculation on Brady, because, it's just too early in the off season to know what everyone's thinking, and I haven't had that conversation with anybody. That not that they can tell me anyway. Here on January the 21st,
Jim White is with us from TitansOnline.com, and Mike Vrabel was asked this yesterday, and he kind of answered it. But when you look at the success this team had this year, a second straight year under Vrabel of 9-7, they win two playoff games, go to the AFC Championship. How much of a balance does there have to be of you want to improve the team, but you got to keep some continuity as well, because this group took them so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that's what they're going to be not battling with, but that's going to be, I think, the goal is you to keep your big contributors around. But you know, I've been around long enough to know that that doesn't always happen. I mean, I think every year there's at least 20%, potentially 25% turnover on the roster. I tweeted out yesterday before this whole locker clean-out process started, you know, what was taking place, and the guys were cleaning out the lockers. There's a press conference, and, many of these guys won't be back. I was shocked at how many people were surprised by that word many. They're thinking one or two guys are going to be gone from the season. It's going to be from this year's team. It's going to be at least a dozen new players on the 53-man roster, if not more next year. You got a whole new draft class. You've got a whole another group of players who'll be battling for spots. I mean, so it's going to be, a significant change, just like it is every year. And how things go in negotiations and what players might be able to get somewhere else and not wanting to overpay certain guys, all that stuff's coming into play here once negotiations start. So I think you want to keep, obviously, your primary guys, and I think that will take place in a lot of cases, but it's tough to say we're keeping this guy when you just don't know what the market's going to be.
Back to the defensive coordinator for a second. When Mike Vrabel got the job, and he said this yesterday, the first call he made was to Dean Pease. to bring him in. You have a lot of times a rookie head coach will bring in somebody, whether they're a former head coach or just with a lot of experience, to kind of help them out. Do you feel like, whether it's the defensive coordinator or another member of his staff, that he still might look at that of trying to have that mentor slash a position coach, defensive coordinator? Or could it be a situation like he was in Houston, where he got a chance as an up-and-coming coach to be a DC?
Yeah, man, I think he'll consider guys on the staff. I think he'll also consider guys outside the building. I mean, I think he's looking to hire someone that he can just trust and turn it over to. I mean, because that's kind of the way he's operated. He's not, you know, I know Mike Vrabel's certainly a defensive-minded coach, and he's got an input really on what happens on that side of the ball, and he pokes in and is involved on the offensive side too. But one thing he's done is he's kind of let his coaches coach. He's let his coordinators do his thing. I just think he wants to hire a guy he can trust. And I think he's, you know, established himself in the first couple of years in the NFL as a coach who's going to do things his way, and he's going to have a message, and he's going to be a tone setter, and he's going to try to make sure guys get better. But I think he's also somebody who's going to let his coordinators do their thing. So I think that's what he's looking for more than anything else, is just somebody that he can hire and he can trust they're going to do the job.
Willie and I were fortunate enough to work a lot with David Clymer over the years. He used to do a weekly with us on the radio for an hour every week for many, many, many years. And so we had a lot of memories on and off the air with David Clymer. I had to admit yesterday, sadly, that it was really embarrassing for me to even admit this. And I know he moved away to South Carolina after retiring from the Tennessean, but I didn't even know he was battling pancreatic cancer, and I felt horrible about that. I was absolutely disturbed by the news during the Titans game. I was in a really good mood watching the game, and basically it put a real damper on the rest of the game for me. I know that you knew David very well. You worked with him with your time at the Tennessean. What did David mean to you?
Yeah, he meant a heck of a lot to me. I mean, I kind of had a, you know, it was a tough day for me as well. I was at halftime in the AFC Championship game when I found out. I mean, the half had just ended, and I went for a walk in the press box and got some eat. I came back, and Gentry asked us from the Tennessee and said, "Did you see what we just tweeted?" I said, "No." He said, "David Clymer's passed away," and I just about floored me. I had to sit down and had to fight back tears in the press box because it was so sad hearing that news. I kept up with David. I texted him throughout this process. I talked to him through this process, and he, you know, was optimistic about beating this and was going to fight it, and talked about the treatments he was going to go through, and that doctors had given him, you know, reason to believe that that he had a chance to beat this. And but then last time I corresponded with him, I could tell he was having a hard time, and I'd not heard from him in, you know, probably a week, 10 days, and was worried, and was just, again, really sad to hear the news. He was, when I started off at the newspaper, and the whole time I worked at the newspaper with David, you know, one of my biggest things in my mind was not to let him down and not to let the other people that I worked with at the Tennessean down, because he worked so hard to build the reputation of that paper. I saw him in the newsroom, and that's what helped drive me to be the best I could be. I didn't want to get beat on stories. I wanted to make the Tennessean, put the Tennessean on the scroller at the bottom of ESPN. I wanted to do everything I possibly could to help the newspaper, because that's the way David Clymer always worked. And he was a great mentor to me. He was a great friend of mine. We had so many road trips that we went on, and he helped me in so many ways throughout my career. And he had planned he retired and bought a home in Fripp Island, South Carolina, to enjoy time and life with his wife, and then to get this diagnosis and to pass so soon after getting it. It's just a really sad story to me. So he'll be missed. I know he touched a lot of people, helped so many people that came through those doors at 1100 Broadway. And it's it was a sad, really sad day to hear the news. And but really, it's been sad the last month or so, knowing he was dealing with that. And I just know how hard it is to when you're faced with that diagnosis.
We're going to have Jeff Perlman on at 1 o'clock today. And I got really bored with the 49ers and Packers. And I found Jeff Perlman's podcast with David. I didn't even know that it was out there. And Jeff actually put something out there. And I sat there and listened. He did this about 3 weeks ago. And so thank goodness for that podcast, because, like I said, I was really bored with the NFC Championship game. And I listened to Jeff Perlman's podcast with David about 2.5-3 weeks ago. And so if you haven't listened to it, you ought to go give it a listen. And he'll join us at 1 o'clock today.
Yeah, Jeff Perlman's one of those guys. And we all sat in the newsroom with David, and he was the guy who set such a high standard inside that building of what it meant to be a reporter, and certainly was a great columnist. And but he was really just a good guy to me. He looked after so many people and tried to steer them in the right direction. He's a hard-nosed reporter and really a no-nonsense guy, but also really a good guy. So he will be missed. It's hard for me to believe still that he has passed.
No doubt about it. Thanks for doing this as always. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay, thank you guys.
Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com. He is the senior editor for that. That's where you can find his work. We will come back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason has added another member to his staff. We'll tell you about that in just a bit. As he continues to put together staff, we had their new offensive coordinator at Pete and Terry's Tavern last Thursday. We had a really good conversation with him. And so he's hired a linebackers coach. We'll tell you about it in just a bit. So yesterday, the news coming down, we brought this up on the air because it was already out there that Kerry Coombs was leaving to go back to Ohio State to be the new defensive coordinator on Ryan Day's staff. But the other bombshell that nobody knew about was Dean Pease. And we talked about it with Teron yesterday of, well, that could still happen, but it was made official. So where do you think Mike Vrabel looks?
And I was there.
For his new defensive coordinator. What was the mood in the room?
So we're all sitting in the auditorium that, you guys have been to at St. Thomas Sports Park, and Vrabel walks in. Pease was right behind him. And as soon as we saw Pease walk in, all of it, you just started.
Everybody knew.
Everybody's like, no, he's retiring.
Yep.
And, when Mike Vrabel starts a press conference, he always throws to Teresa Walker for the first question. And so
I think is great. I think that's good.
He looks at Teresa and says, Teresa, I need you to give me a minute. I got to take care of something. And so he starts and talks about Dean and then turns it over. And so, I think Jim's answer was kind of what everybody was feeling. Like, you're surprised, not surprised. Like, you kind of felt like it could happen. And I thought Coach Pease did a good job of explaining the whole thing, and that, it was Mike that really was the reason that he came out of retirement. But he also expounded upon that being able to coach with his son, which was something he was never able to do in New England or Baltimore, and that Mike Vrabel allowed that and gave him that opportunity, and that's something that
he
really wanted
to do.
Not
be able to do that here either.
Yeah, no, I know. Right. So that was a big thing for him, and he got that opportunity for 2 years to coach with his son. So now Mike Vrabel has to figure out what's next, and I think it's interesting. Do you go Romeo Crennel's going to be available. I've seen that he could have another role with Houston, but he was not the defensive coordinator for a year. So Mike Vrabel was, and then he took the role over again. Now they're moving on. So that's probably an easy dot to connect. Personally, I don't think you go that route. I would look at Wade Phillips, you know, somebody like that. But if he's going to stay with connections, you know, does he do like he did with Arthur Smith and promote from within? Tyrone McKenzie, you know, he's a possibility. Or do you go for an up-and-comer? I just think time is going to tell. I mean, they're a mix of veterans. You know, we've discussed throughout the year, you know, does he need a former head coach on the staff? Marvin Lewis is available. Wade Phillips is available.
Is Marvin
Romeo?
Marvin Lewis is not on Herm's staff?
No, I think he was just like an advisor. I mean, I've seen his name as a potential candidate.
He looks like he really wants to get back in, and yeah, he's a guy that's going to get.
And he interviewed,
some interviewed for some yeah jobs.
Well, let's break them down, because there's some really intriguing names in that. If you think about, I mean, Marvin Lewis is well removed from being the author of one of the greatest defenses of all time. That's how he got the Bengals job. And he, of course, was in Cincinnati for so long.
Forever. What,
that's an intriguing name.
17 years,
but
right?
Romeo Crennel certainly makes a lot of sense with the philosophical thing with Vrabel. Like, they've worked together. They've been teacher's pupil.
Well, Romeo coached him, I think.
Yeah. So that's an obvious match. But the one that really intrigues me, too, as an outsider, would be Wade Phillips. He's just a Jedi master, right? He's wherever he's gone, he's been awesome. But does the personnel that they have and the way they've drafted, does that fit with Wade Phillips? I don't think Wade Phillips is a 3-4 guy, right? Or a hybrid 3-4 guy. He's more of the straight 4-3 guy, if I remember correctly, right? Isn't he more like that? I could be wrong, but I mean, he probably has done everything at
Gerard
some point.
Mayo is another name that, you know, the Patriots connection, and obviously he's the inside linebackers coach with the Patriots. He's another name that I've seen out there. I heard Braden bring up Luke Fickle today, head coach at Cincinnati, best friends with Mike Vrabel. I don't see him. I mean, would you give up a head coaching job even though you're going to the NFL to be a coordinator?
That's an interesting one.
It's interesting, I don't.
It could be different for if you ask 10 different people in that spot.
Yeah.
You might get some different answers.
But
it wouldn't be unanimous either way, would it?
He's had success there in Cincinnati.
He's done a great job.
He's a name that if they can do it again, I think you see him being a candidate for bigger college jobs, head coaching jobs.
Is there a guy on staff that's been hanging around for 8 or 9 years, just in different roles that they could promote to defensive coordinator?
You're saying the next Arthur Smith?
Yeah. Is there a guy on the defensive side
probably
of the ball that's an Arthur Smith in that building?
I don't know
the
that long.
The two...
Arthur Smith was pretty unique in how many staffs he was a part of.
Yes. What? This was his third? Is that right? Or fourth?
Maybe fourth, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't he go back to Mike Munchak?
Probably.
That seems right.
Yep. I think that's right.
It's
been there, what, 8, 9 years?
Yeah. Shane Bowen is who everybody was talking about as the top internal candidate, the outside linebackers coach.
Here's what I don't know. But from afar, it would seem like if you wanted to keep some continuity in the philosophy, the terminology, that you wouldn't have to veer too far off of that if you had Romeo Crennel, right? Don't you think they would probably be similar philosophies in there? I don't know that.
I gotta be
sure.
Honest, Marvin Lewis really intrigues me.
I would rather.
That's another one that
really,
how different
really
is his
me
way of going about things than was before?
But is that
they've
a bad
all had
thing?
Great. It may not be a bad thing, but I'm thinking Romeo's for your personnel. You do want to match up your philosophy to the personnel that you have drafted.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you want to go to a 4-3 or something, then you gotta draft some.
And they need pass
people,
rush.
Right?
They need pass rush too. So you need somebody that's going to be able to help develop pass rush.
But Landry is sort of your outside linebacker, 3-4 kind of pass rusher. More so, he's not that big traditional defensive end that you have. So that is above my level of knowledge for how you put together a defense. I would think though that you would have to think along the lines of how can I keep this going, flowing in the same direction? Because I like a lot about what they've done with the defense.
Here's my question. Bill O'Brien has now demoted Romeo Crennel twice. That stands out to me.
True.
And I know he's had a lot of success as a DC in this league. And not a very good head coach, but he's had success as a defensive coordinator.
That's true. And it's like once you've been around as long as Romeo Crennel, like most veterans, you can probably point to some great highs and some low lows, right? Yeah. They've been through it all. Like Dean Pease, I'm sure, didn't have every year be a great year.
Do you remember how his last game in Baltimore ended?
It didn't end well.
No, it did not. It cost him the playoffs.
It helped the Titans.
The final drive of the game. Cincinnati marched right down and scored.
What was it, like a 4th and 15 they got? And scored a touchdown on it and ended the season. Yeah, it was a walk-off, basically.
I mean, if you do it long enough, I mean, give me a break, of course.
Like even Wade Phillips, as great as he's been, it's not like
guys are available for a reason.
Right.
I mean, his defense was awesome last year in L.A., and then not so much this year, and now he's out of a job. NFL, not for long.
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, you lose Sue, you lose Marcus Peters. I mean, they've lost. You start losing a lot of key guys. It's amazing. All of a sudden, you're not as smart anymore. I mean, when you lose really, really good players.
What the Titans have to look at is, and I think this goes to their contracts, coordinator, everything. The window to me is very small. That's the NFL. It's nothing with them. It's just that's the NFL. So they have to strike while the iron's hot. This organization cannot handle going backwards. If Tannehill walks away and you have to start all over, I think that would be a bad thing because you've had 4 straight years of 9-7. You went to the AFC Championship. You have to take steps forward, and that's winning the division. That's a better record than 9-7. That's trying to get back to the AFC Championship game. So he has to be... He has to make the right move and doesn't have time really to make mistakes.
I have confidence that Mike Vrabel knows. He knows defense. He knows what he wants from the defense. He knows this group of personnel. I think he'll, and as we just noted, there's a lot of pretty qualified candidates out there. I think a lot of them would be interested in this job, so I don't think he'll have trouble finding somebody who can really do the job. And I'm with you. They've done the hard part, right? They've built the roster. The 4-9-7s, I think you could argue that each year
they've got 22 players that are free agents.
Right, so they had some tough decisions.
Got half the roster.
But this becomes a good problem, right? Before it's like, God, we need players. Where do we find players? Now it's like we have a lot of good players. We got to make choices on who we're keeping. They've come to a different stage of roster building here.
Back to wrap up the first hour next.
Mike gave me an opportunity to come here along with John Robinson, along with Amy. And I'm very, very much appreciative. Wasn't a hard sell when he got me out of retirement because of who Mike is, how he was as a player. I knew how the success he'd have as a coach. And it was my honor to be able to work for him for the last 2 years. But in talking with my wife, we've decided that it's time for me to hang up the cleats, so to speak. And, it's been 47 years. Told the team today, 721 games, that's a lot of games to coach. And it's just, it's time. And I've been around enough players and watched them retire and watch guys sometimes maybe stay longer than they should have. And I just feel like it's a great time for us and my wife. I want to spend a lot of time with my wife. She's been very supportive. We got our 12th grandchild on the way. I got 9 grandsons who are starting to play ball, and I want to be a part of their life and watching them play. And it's been a great profession, been a great ride.
There you go, Dean Pease yesterday.
Likeable
guy.
Some
guys, it all sounds good until they do it full time, and then they're like, their family's like, yeah, we need you to go back to coaching. It's time for you to leave.
Well, it sounds like he could be pretty busy if he's got a 12th grandchild on the way.
12, yeah. 12 grandchildren.
There'll be some stuff to do.
Was pretty interesting. He said all along they've always, I guess they have a lake house in Michigan. And he said we've always had that as our kind of our final stop. And he said after spending 2 years here, I don't know. Maybe we're just going to stay here.
Hmm. Yeah, he did indicate that yesterday. So I think he'll be around. And, he even joked, he said, because somebody asked, is this for good this time? And he laughed and he said, well, my wife may unretire me at
some
point.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It all sounds great. And then once they get home, it's like, I mean, why do you think Floyd Reese is doing radio?
Right.
Sally was like, yeah, I love you. We've been together a long time, but Why do you think Terry Crisp is still doing television for the Predators? Sheila's like, yeah, I love you. We've been together a long time, but
yeah,
I need you to
get a hobby.
Yeah.
Well, you do have to have fulfillment in life somewhere.
Sure. Right?
And so you got to have things that you love to do, get up in the morning. And it is different for everybody, right? There are some that have trouble transitioning out of what you've been doing for all
you've
these
done it
years,
your whole
right?
Life.
Everybody's got a different idea. And like you said, it could be in your mind, you think this is what you want to do. And then you find out, I got to find something else besides what I thought I was going to be doing. So I don't know. I mean, listen, they are better off for having had Dean Pease for the 2 years.
Yep.
I think Mike Vrabel, he knew he wasn't going to have him forever.
Right.
You know, and he got two really good years.
They're not in the spot
without
him.
They built a really – yes, he did a really nice job with that defense.
It was a perfect addition to have to start the building blocks. But now you got to find the right person to take it, you know, for the next step. And I think, too – you know, if you go the up-and-coming route, you're always risking, well, are they going to leave in 2 years and be a head coach?
You can't worry about that. It's just, you can't worry about it. I've always said, you know, people used to say, yeah, don't hire him as our coach because, you know, he won't be here long. He's going to take the bigger job. You can't hire people on that. Look, who's kidding who?
And rarely, I'm not saying you worry
rarely
about that.
Do you get coaches with long tenures. That's just how it works.
Sure.
I mean, we
the
got
NFL, not for
got,
long.
We got lucky in this market. I don't know how. I mean, it was a rare thing. We had Barry Trotz and Jeff Fisher for 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
We didn't have any clue what a coaching change was at the professional sports level.
Didn't we try one time to look at like the history of sports?
If that had ever happened in a market?
If we could ever find a market that had the same coach in two different sports for that long, I don't think we found it.
I think we thought
about
it.
We
talked about it out loud,
but we didn't find it.
Give me an example. I mean, somebody tweet us, text us. Is there an example of a market that had two professional coaches
in
the same place for 16, 17 years?
Chuck Knoll was in Pittsburgh for a long time. Landry was in Dallas. But the other sports, I don't.
Yeah,
I
mean, we tried all turnovers. That. I feel like we looked at all those things and we just couldn't find it. Now, that's a lot of teams, a lot of cities. So I don't know that we exhausted every team.
The Steelers are the best example, but Pirates and the Penguins have changed.
The Penguins
have won two cups because they fired their coach in the middle of the season.
Well, I would say hockey's probably a bad example because they change coaches a lot.
So there's not a lot of
Pirates.
Hockey.
They've spent more time sucking than being good, so you know they fired their manager.
Well, the 70s, they had two different managers in the 70s. They won two World Series in the 70s with two different managers.
Yeah.
So that's out the window.
Yeah,
that's gone.
You'd be hard-pressed.
Yeah.
Dallas?
No. I mean, the Texas Rangers, alongside of the Dallas Cowboys, while Landry is there, they didn't have the same manager very long.
Mm-mm.
Billy Martin was there. You know how he lasted. Not very long, anywhere he was.
Billy Martin was with the Rangers?
He was, for very briefly.
Was that in between,
Yankee
stints?
Minnesota. Well, it was before he became the Yankees manager for the first time.
No, I was about to say he was
with
Steinbrenner
Detroit,
fired him
in Minnesota and Texas, I think, before he ever got to the Yankees. And then the whole merry-go-round happened there.
By the way, speaking of the Rangers, they're coming through next week.
Oh, yeah, for their little caravan.
Yeah, little van caravan.
Didn't Steinbrenner fire Billy Martin at a press conference while reintroducing him as the manager? As a joke.
Mm. And then there was a beer commercial where they did that, too.
Right. It's funny.
Pretty funny.
Joel Corey, you're going to want to hear this. He is going to join us to kick off the second hour, and we're going to talk about what we've already started talking about. John Robinson's got some really tough decisions to make, so we'll talk to Joel Corey of CBS Sports on the other side. He's really good about contracts, free agency, the right numbers. We'll get into all that. I told you Derek Mason has added a member to his staff. This staff member was just on the LSU staff that just won the national championship. He has hired his new linebackers coach, Kenichi Udoze. I hope that's how you say it. Kenichi Udoze is his new linebackers coach.
Afanasyev.
He was a defensive analyst. You're number one, Chase. Look at me. number one.
Thank you.
For LSU last year, he spent several years on USC staff. I think he played at USC as well. We'll come back. Joel Corey on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game.